الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, so let's continue inshallah with the next ayah, مالك يوم الدين, in our tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, مالك يوم الدين, the reciters or the قراء have two different ways of reciting the word or reciting the first word in this verse, which is of course is مالكي. And these are narrated by متواتر narrations, which means that the narrations that we have to support these methods of reading are undisputed. Now, the first way is how we normally recite it, which is مالكي. مالكي here literally means the owner or the one that is in charge. The owner or the one that is in charge. So the meaning of this verse, when you say مالكي يوم الدين, master or the owner of the day of judgment. مالكي يوم الدين, master or the owner of the day of judgment. In other words, everything that will happen on that day and the presence of that day itself is and it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in various verses in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, especially one in Surah Amma Yatasa'alun. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that on day لا تكلم نفس إلا, and then Allah Azza wa Jal continue إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that he mentions that nobody on that day will be able to speak unless they have his permission, entails that he is the one that's going to be in charge, that he's the one that is the owner of that day, the master of that day. So that's why, and that's how we get this understanding of the word مالكي. So that's the first one, and that's the most common one recited in the majority of the world today. But then we have the second type, which is recited in various parts of the world, and this was the way that Ibn Kathir, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and other companions and great scholars, they preferred reciting this verse, which is مالكي. مالكي يوم الدين. Now, مالكي يوم الدين has a slightly different connotation behind it. مالكي means the king of the day of judgment. So it's no longer the master now, but rather it's the king of the day of judgment. So the meaning of the verse would be on that day that kingship belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no king or creation of this earth would have any power, would have any strength on that day. Now this is really interesting, because when you listen to these two ways and the two different benefits or meanings that you get behind master of the day of judgment as opposed to the king of the day of judgment, there's a couple benefits behind this. Number one is one may ask themselves, well, what's the point of having these two different recitations? Because if you're the king, then you automatically, or you by default, own everything and you're the one in control. And if you're the master, then by default, you should also be the king. So what's the point of having these two different methods of reciting the same word? Scholars, they don't have a solid opinion behind this question, but they give us various points to think about if you'd like. If you look at the kings and the queens and the leaders of this world today, and even of the past, what would happen to a lot of these kings in terms of the relationship that their followers would have with them? At some point, some of these followers would deem that these kings and these queens and these leaders, they themselves may attribute an aspect of God within them. And unfortunately for a lot of people, they look at those presidents, they look at those leaders as God themselves. Or they look at it as servants, or these are the true connection to God. Imagine that, your president or your leader, people will go through this and use that person as a medium to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to protect us from this. Because believe it or not, alhamdulillah, even though it is not a big problem in the Muslim community, it's not a rampant issue. However, there are stagnant Muslims that are scattered that do this. That they will look at the imam and say that the Imam is the one, that he makes dua for you, you're, then dua is going to be accepted. Just go to him and ask him to make dua for you. Allahul Musta'an. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, in some of the countries that I visited, and some of the conferences that I've attended, occasionally I may shake the hand of, you know, the gathering or the audience. They always want to come and meet the speakers and that thing. So you come and you shake hands. But occasionally I'll feel one brother's hand will be like this. And I just, and I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, it's a really uncomfortable situation. But then, you know, when you find that some of the brothers, they do that, they kind of rub your hand and they kind of pull away, trying to grasp every blessing they can drip out of your finger. And then you see them right in front of you, they'd go like this. A'udhu billah. And subhanAllah, there was only one person that was allowed for this to happen to. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everything was barakah around him. Even his spit. Some of the sahabas, they narrated, every time the Prophet ﷺ would spit on the ground, a sahaba would come pick it up. And he would wipe it. Because his spit was barakah. There's a narration that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, I'm not sure of the authenticity behind this, I haven't really found a lineage behind it, but it was mentioned in some of his earlier books that he used to have some strands of hair of the Prophet ﷺ tied around him. Like he used to keep it close to him. And he had it in a small little pouch. But the point is that going back to this ayah, why we have these two distinct meanings, but somehow they are connected, they complement one another, is to just show you the difference that perhaps that most powerful individual or person in this world becomes nothing to the real Malikul Amlak, the real King of Kings on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, just because you're the one that's in control or you're the master, doesn't make you the one who has the authority and final decision. For others, if you're the king, it doesn't mean that you dictate each and everything that happens under your control or your authority. So to rectify these two issues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through mutawatir narrations, we have both of these recitations. Doesn't matter if you're the king, here is the king of the day of judgment. Doesn't matter if you're a strong leader, a person of power and authority, here is the one that is the owner, the master, the one in authority on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that's the wisdom as to why we have both of these. So, Maliki Yawm al-Din and Maliki Yawm al-Din. Let's come to the next word. So that's the first word. We have the next word, which is Yawm. Yawm literally means day. But here, linguistically, it also refers to a period of time. So even some of the Arabs, they would use the word yawm to just describe the mornings. Then they would use yawm to just describe the evenings, just a portion of that day. But today, most commonly, the word yawm literally means from the time of dawn until sunset, one complete day. In some rare cases, it's also referring to a portion of an hour, if you'd like. Maybe 1 hour of a day can also be called yawm. This here, there's a very strong evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, He says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ. So He says that this day, which literally Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to one moment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that He mentions that this day has been perfected for you and this religion has been perfected for you. So that is the issue when it comes to the word yawm. So He is Maliki Yawm. What kind of yawm or day is this? It's Yawmuddin. It is Yawmuddin. The word deen here means to reckon or recompense. To reckon and recompense. So on that day, and this is found in various parts of the Quran, the way that deen is used, to recompense. We find this in throughout the Quran in Surah number 24, Ayah number 25, that on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay them their deen in truth. In other versions as well, we find similar connotations, if you like, or similar meanings. Ibn Abbas mentions that when it comes to the words Yawmuddin, he mentions that this is referring to the day on which the creations are judged. Yawmuddin is the day that the creations are judged. So putting all of this together, let's summarize this next Maliki Yawm al-Din, this third ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal, after mentioning to praise Him, and after mentioning that He is Rabbul Alameen, and He tells us why He's Rabbul Alameen, because He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And the fact that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim makes Him Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. Now you have the best of both worlds. You have in the dunya and in the akhirah, He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But in the akhirah, Allah is Malik, or He is the Malik. He is the one in control and the one in charge, and He becomes the king of that day. Now what is Allah Azza wa Jalhu? There's a psychological benefit behind this. When you look at Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you think about a part of that ayah is referring to the dunya and all of its affairs. When you look at the first ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, again, it's referring to not only the dunya, but also all the affairs of the universe, including the akhirah. But then you have one verse that is specific only for the akhirah. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal do that? Goes from dunya akhirah, now only the akhirah. Scholars, they say that one benefit behind this is that this is the way that Surah Fatiha keeps your focus on the purpose of life. Keeps your focus on the purpose of why you're here. Is that everything that you should do at the end of the day, you should at least think about the akhirah and think about Yawm al-Qiyam and think about your judgment in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Second benefit, Maliki Yawm al-Din. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that He was the one in charge, but He just says that there is a day of judgment and doesn't specify that He's the one in charge, then that changes the meaning very little. It's a slight change, but there is a benefit behind it. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal places His attribute that He is the one that is in charge of that day, it automatically entails that everything in our affairs, everything that we do, is going to be brought out on that day to the Malik or to the Master who is in charge of even the words we say and the actions that we do. So it goes back to every single thing that happens in this world is going to be brought out in front of us on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. كُلِّ قَوْلٍ قُلْتَ وَكُلُّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتَ. Every word you say, every action you utter. Now why does Allah Azza wa Jal call it Yawm Ad-Din? And doesn't say Maliki Yawm Al-Qiyamah or Maliki Yawm Al-Akhirah. Why does Allah Azza wa Jal say Maliki Yawm Ad-Din? He uses this name. And as you all know, there are many names of the Day of Judgment. Scholars, they say here is that the most important thing to a person when you think about the Day of Judgment is to know that the Day of Judgment is only going to be a brief moment. The judgment is going to happen. Allah is going to execute whatever plans He has. He's going to judge every single person. But it's going to be for just a brief moment. It's going to feel like for you and I, as Allah says in the Quran, equivalent to 50,000 years. It's going to feel that way. But for Allah Azza wa Jal, it's going to be a split moment. It's going to be a very, very brief time that He will get all of this judgment done. Now don't try to logicalize this. Don't try to understand, well, if it's going to be a brief moment equivalent to 50 years, then no, that doesn't make sense. Because time is something you and I, we will never understand it. We will never understand how time works. That's why in the Quran you have wal-fajr, you have wal-duha, you have wal-asr, you have wal-shamsi wal-duhaha, you have all of these different names, or you have these different verses that Allah swears by time or gives an oath by time. And sometimes He'll give an oath by the morning. Then another surah gives it by in the evening. Then another surah, Allah just gives an oath generally, wala asr, just a general oath of any time. So this here, scholars say, it's a concept that we can never really truly understand. So it's important to know that when you look at Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, what this entails. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us another, if you'd like, aspect of our aqeedah. And that is, of course, the importance of the Day of Judgment. And when we come to this, inshallah, in one of the later surahs, we will discuss the Yawm al-Qiyamah in great detail. In great detail. We will have actually probably even a series of sessions designated only to Yawm al-Qiyamah. as many affairs as we can that we can discuss regarding that day. This is what, inshallah, going to be an entire separate topic. There are going to be many of those. We're going to have many separate topics, because in order to do justice to understand a surah in its entirety, understand at least some of the basic concepts, sometimes we will have to take a step aside and study one mas'ala or one topic in depth. And as I mentioned to you, brothers and sisters, the reason why we're spending so much time on Surah Al-Fatiha, because of what it entails, as we mentioned in the first session, that this is the mother of the Qur'an, so just by default, it is befitting that we spend the most time on this surah. But after, when we finish this surah, inshallah, and we move on to another one, then things will flow much more quicker, if you'd like. So having said that, ayyuhal ahbab, this is where that I want to conclude, and inshallah, in our next session, we will take إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ.